Well, last week I spoke of there being only one way. And that's the message from John 14:6, as Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." That's a settled reality. It comes from the mouth of the Son of God, Jesus, and is pretty well an absolute, as Jesus says it. He says, no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Okay? So, if we can say we've heard the good news of the gospel and that we have confessed our sins against God the Father and we've accepted His forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, then we've entered the one and only way to God the Father. That is, we're in Jesus, His Son. We are on the right path for our eternal security. That's a matter of our position in Christ. And that position in Christ says less about our behaviors. It just says about where we are in Him. Now, what we do want to look at today is what our position in Christ means to how we behave. That's very important. That's what we're going to look at. We'll still be in the 14th chapter of John mostly, although I'll be on both sides of that, some verses from the 13th and the 15th. Now remember from last week, as we're reading John's record of the conversation that took place, this is what we're doing. We're still in that conversation that took place after the Last Supper of Jesus and before their visit to the Garden of Gethsemane. So I count these last words of Jesus of high importance. Not like anything He said for us is unimportant, but instead that these are words that spill out with some of the most important things Jesus wants His disciples to know once He's gone. And we see first that Jesus gives us as His disciples the prescription of love. The prescription of love. It's recorded as Jesus' unique and specific command to His disciples after He shared His last meal with them. He's already washed the feet of those who will run away in fear, the one who would betray Him, and the one who would deny that He even knew Jesus. Of course, you're familiar with it in my preaching, that the command of Jesus found in John 13:34 is the thing that guides us here. It says, "I give you a new command. Love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another." The prescription of love. And as a new command, a command that's important because it comes directly from the Son of God. Love one another with that totally unselfish and careful love that comes from the heart of God the Father, whom God later writes is love itself. God is love, He says. This is the love that offers salvation to a sinful world by the sacrifice of the Son of God. That is the love that He says when He said, "Love as I have loved you." An unselfish, sacrificial, careful, determined love that is shared with whoever needs it. It's the love that is keeping Jesus focused on the cross, even as He's caring for His disciples whom He will leave soon, and He knows we'll have to work through their deep grief. And He's caring for them even now. Because after that grief, they will become effective in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with the world. Now, this is love that has a standard measure. Since humanity has such a problem with always trying to compare ourselves with other people, Jesus tells us that the bar is set a lot higher than that. In fact, in His command, He gives us the positive standard of love that is equal to Christ's own love. That means love for His disciples needs to be a perfect love of self-sacrifice. love one another the same as I have loved you. That's the bar. It's not I love as good as somebody else I know. It's not as I'm as lovely as my wife is. She's much better at it than I am. It's the love of Jesus. It's the love of Jesus. It's a high, high standard. And that standard is the one that we always are to strive for and act out and live out. In fact, his command that he gives has that positive standard of love that has no other measure. That means love for his disciples, love for us as his disciples, needs to be a perfect love of self-sacrifice. That's our goal. That's when we know we've gotten where we need to be. Pick anyone in the whole of the population of the earth to compare our measure of love with. The love we receive from our mothers and fathers, our partners, our brothers, our sisters, our children, our aunts, our uncles, our cousins, and even our grandparents. No, that's not it. Jesus' love is way more than that. It's not a high enough standard if it's not Jesus himself. How are we going to love one another? Well, Jesus repeats the command and tells us to love to the fullness of the self-sacrificing love of Jesus. There's our goal. There's our goal. That's never a good enough love. Instead, it's always more than we've yet loved. This is thoughtful, careful, deciding to love. It's a willful love. It has to shape our approach to an unloving and unlovely world. This is the love that chooses to do what's best for the one that you love, no matter what the cost. That's the love that we're talking about. When Jesus tells us to love one another, he says, make a commitment to one another to love. Not with the doting love that spoils, but with the caring love that does the best that is possible. So important is this command of Jesus that he repeats it two more times, a total of three times in this conversation on the way to the garden, which is the prayer stop on the way to the cross. John 13:34 was where we started, and now we also have it in John 15:12-13. This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. Sounds familiar already, right? Verse 13. No one has greater love than this to lay down his life for his friends. So Jesus tells us not to stop or limit our love until we have nothing else to give. Are you willing to go that far? Sounds a little drastic, doesn't it? But that's the desire of Jesus, that we would echo the love that he has in such a way that the world would know. He reminds us that this kind of love lays down its life to fill the need of love for another. Now, there's simply no standard higher, and yet the standard is right in front of us, and Jesus repeats it a third time. This is what I command you. Love one another. So there we have it. That's the prescription of our Savior, Lord, and Master. It's to love one another with the full measure of Jesus' own love. It's the third command of love. It comes directly from the Son of God. It's recorded three times in this time of intimate teaching that Jesus gives as he begins their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. A new command, he says. This is my command. This is what I command you, love one another. It's not a 5,000-word legal statute like we might see in our own legal system. It's a 3-word command. And after getting in mind that Jesus commands us to love this way, Jesus also tells us that our love is something that propels a practice of obedience. As we're commanded to love one another, we now have a reciprocal love for Jesus, who loves us enough to endure the cross for our salvation. Jesus loves us, there's no question of that. Loves us so much, he's willing to endure the cross for our salvation. But there is a response that he asks of us. It's automatic for Jesus, but it needs a constant reminder for us. 3 times he told us to love one another. Now Jesus tells us, John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And this is just the first of not two, not three, not four, but five times in this journey between the upper room and the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Five times. If you love me is not a command, it's a challenge, it's a test, it's a measuring bar. Do you love Jesus? Are you sure of his love for you? Do you want to claim that you love him too? Well then, Jesus is clear. There's only one standard. If you love me, you will keep my commands. That's an if and then period. If you love me, you will keep my commands. No questions there. No questions. Not complicated. Not confusing. But evident in our practice of following Jesus. And why is it repeated? Because we are going to continually revert to our stubborn selfishness of sin, making up our own rules for what it means to be a follower of Christ. And Jesus has another much more simple rule. Keep my commands, if you love me. 3 years Jesus has been training his disciples. 3 years he's been telling them of the love of the Father. 3 years Jesus has explained his true mission, and for 3 years he has lived out the first two commands that Jesus identified as most important. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and your strength. The whole law and the prophets are wrapped up in that command, he says, when it's paired with love your neighbor as yourself. Then he gave us the third command, love one another as I have loved you. And now, not a command, but a standard of behavior. If you love me, you will keep my commands. He boiled it down to the three that we can use to measure everything else we do. And by acting that out, we show that we love him. We show to ourselves, we show to God, we show to the world that we love him. If you love me, you will keep my commands. Now, you can tell if someone loves Jesus by their obedience. The scripture says that even. It's not just a common consequence that makes sense in our own mind. Of course, we can tell if somebody loves Jesus if they're living their life for Jesus. We can see that. We can tell it. We know that. And the world knows it, even if they don't know Jesus. Do you love Jesus? Do you care? Do you call yourself a Christian? Then you're going to respond to the love that Jesus has for you with a willingness to follow what Jesus has commanded. If we love him. Yes, it's simplified to these three rules of love, but Jesus explained and instructed his disciples for 3 years. We have the Gospels. We have what he said. We have an interpretation of Paul and John and Peter that fill out the rest of the New Testament. But it's all about how to live out our lives the way that honors Jesus. We have the most important records of Jesus' words in the four Gospels to learn from, to use, to interpret those laws of Moses that Jesus lived by. John 14:21, the one who has my commands and keeps them is one who loves me. So the converse of that is that if we have his commands, we don't keep his commands, we don't really love Jesus. We're living out a false security of salvation, thinking that we can just take the icing on the cake without doing those things that God has called us to do. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I also will love him and will reveal myself to him. Now, by the way, the Father's love is already universal. As he so loved the world, the sinful world, before he sent Jesus, that he sent Jesus. So the Father's love is there, but there's also a family reciprocal love that goes on to those that are close to the Father. The second time Jesus says this command, the standard of obedience becomes the badge of our love for Jesus. So important that is this, that how we look to the unbelieving world depends on how well we act like Jesus. How we look to the unbelieving world depends on how well we act like Jesus, that we behave like Jesus, that we follow the basics of love and the standards of good behavior that God has already given, that Jesus has laid out and lived out in front of us. Jesus had even told us in John 13:35, by this everyone will know you're my disciples if you love one another. Follow Jesus' commands, and the unbelieving people as well as the believing people will know if you are his. It's not a mystery to be a Christian. It's a celebration of our love for God through Jesus Christ to live out as a Christian. You get to celebrate the love of God. Celebrate the love you have for Christ by obediently doing what God has shown you. How Jesus has loved you. How Jesus has told us to love. How Jesus is saying, live out what I have told you. Jesus tells us our show of love means we live under the umbrella of the special love of the Father for his children, the special presence of the revealing love of Jesus Christ. The better we are at following the commands of Jesus, the more we will know Jesus. And the more we know Jesus, the more we will know the Father who sent them. This is how we dive in deeper, by loving Jesus enough to do what he said, to loving him enough that our love reaches out to God the Father who first loved us. And the rest will know if you love the one who died for you. Jesus even tells us in these passages that the Father favors those who obey. Again, he said it in this verse we just used, John 14:21, saying that the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. But Jesus goes on to tell us that there are positive consequences for our love of Jesus and our loving obedience. Positive consequences. Every action has consequence. We normally mark the things that are negative, you know, the punishments. But there's positive consequences to positive behavior. And our loving obedience has a positive consequence. The really good news is that the actions of obedience are full of the Father's love, and the consequences are signs of our adoption as the children of God. John 14:23-24. Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The one who doesn't love me will not keep my words. The word that you hear is not mine, but from the Father who sent me. Well, again, Jesus doesn't make it complicated, and he repeats it because we need some repetition, and that's why my sermon seems a little repetition here, because I'm following the pattern of what Jesus did as I share with you those important words between the upper room and the garden before the Last Supper and the cross. If you want to receive the royal treatment, if you want to be treated like God's family, then love Jesus enough to fit into the family of the Father God who first loved you. Act like a child of God and you will have the favor of the Father as one of his children. And Jesus says clearly, it'll be obvious to everyone if you don't care about Jesus. It will be obvious because you can't be bothered to love the Father. You can't be bothered to love your neighbor. You can't be bothered to love one another. And if you can't be bothered to love, you can't claim any allegiance to God. In fact, let's be real here. If you can't be bothered to obey, then don't bother to name yourself a Christian. That is what the Bible teaches us. If you can't be bothered to obey, then don't bother to claim to be a Christian. Did you hear that? Even the simplified law of God that Jesus brought to you, love God the Father, love your neighbor, love one another. If you can't do that, don't call yourself a Christian, because all you're doing is bringing dishonor to the household of God. That sounds pretty hard when I say it, doesn't it? But it's the truth according to Scripture. And bringing dishonor on the household of God is a dangerous place to be. In fact, it's siding with Satan to stain the reputation of the Son of God and all who claim Him as Savior. That is not where you want to be. That was the third time the standard of obedience was given, tied to the reciprocal love of God. And now, as we come to the fourth time, Jesus tells us about command keeping. He ties it back to the love God the Father has for His own Son, and how the Son loves those He saved. John 15, 9 and 10. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. See, living in the love of Jesus, which is living in the love of the Father, means living in obedience just as Jesus has been living in obedience to God the Father. Do you hear that? Living in the love of Jesus, living in the love of the Father, living in obedience just as Jesus has been living in obedience to God the Father. And then the fifth time, Jesus tells us that love is fulfilled in faithfulness. As He says in John 15, 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Well, that's an important statement. Jesus said to His disciples, I no longer call you servants, I call you my friends. Now He has said, after He's gone through this and explained it and talked about it and tried to drive the point home, John 15, 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. In the Gospel of John, salvation is by faith in Jesus, but favor is by obedience, as Jesus was obedient to His Father. And His own obedience is driven by love. Jesus' own obedience is driven by love. His love for God the Father in John 14, 31. On the contrary, so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do as my Father commanded me. I do as my Father commanded me. Now, that it's on the contrary. What's before that? It's this verse here in John 14:30. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me. But He comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me to do, is the NIV translation of that verse. If Jesus' own obedience is driven by His love for the Father, He's again modeling how we should behave. Do we love Jesus enough to do what He told us to do? Do we love Jesus enough to show the world that we care about what God thinks of us in our behaviors and in our actions? Do we love Jesus enough that we will follow His example and love the Father enough that we will do as He has commanded? And here comes the fifth time, John 15, 10. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. Excuse me, I gave the five commands to obey if you love Jesus. This is about how we dive in deeper to the love of Christ by our obedience. We dive in deeper to the love of Christ by our obedience. If you keep my commands, that's our obedience, you will remain in my love just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. And we discover that there is, again, positive consequence to positive behavior. Here's what he says. In Jesus' love, our joy is full. And it comes in John 15:11. He says, I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And that's the really good news at the end of this. This isn't just about, are you good enough? You're good enough to be saved because God loves you no matter what. He loves you enough that he cares that you don't spend eternity in hell. But if you want to have the favor of God, it needs your obedience to Christ. If you want to show the world that you're a Christian, then your obedience will show the world that you're a Christian. The more like Christ you are, the fuller will be your joy, as well as the fuller will be your testimony to the world who needs to know this one who we call our Savior. It's about living in Jesus as Master and Lord. Are you willing to make that choice? To show your obedience in all of your life? Let's pray. Lord God, it is by your grace that we are saved. It is by your presence that we are sanctified. And it is by our wills that we are obedient. Father, increase our love that we might more easily seek to please you. Increase our love that we would be heartbroken when we disappoint you. Increase our love so that we would always seek the way of Jesus. And Lord, help us to show this world that we have a Savior who loves us and is worthy of our obedience. We thank you in Jesus' name.